Okay, ready to go.
BK4.
We'll have a number.
I don't have the motion. Daryl, could I have your motion? I don't have this. Oh, wait.
It says revised copy.
Okay, I do. I thought that was for admin. All right, I have it. Sorry. Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol Building on October 1st. For a special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, I will call this meeting to order. In the hearing room are myself and Commissioner Brian Kulk, and participating by phone is Commissioner Chrisman. Can you hear us all right, Commissioner Chrisman?
I hear you just fine, thank you. Good morning.
Okay, great. I do not have any opening comments, so I will defer to you, Randy, and then we can kick the one. We just have one item on the regular agenda and then a couple items on admin agenda to discuss after our regular agenda. But I don't have any items in my portfolio, so I'll ask you if you have any opening comments.
I would just thank everybody for the extra troubles that it takes in order to accommodate us when we call in. I'm on my way to Fargo for the Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute meeting, which is a organization upon which the Public Service Commission gets one member. So that's where I am today.
Excellent. Thanks, Randy. All right, then we'll kick it over to Commissioner Kulk, who has the lone item on the regular agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Any comments I have, I guess I'll save after I make the motion. I move the Commission reopen the record and issue a notice of hearing in Rolet Power Development, LLC, Rolet Wind Energy Project, Rolet County, siting application, case number PU15-124. The hearing will be limited to the issue of whether adverse effects on eagle health and safety will be managed and maintained to an acceptable minimum.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. A little background. In March of this year, Rolet Power filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a 100-megawatt Rolet wind power project of up to 59 turbines. On May of this year, the Commission deemed the application complete and issued notice of filing and notice of hearing. We scheduled a public hearing on the application to begin June 29th at 9:30 at the Memorial Hall in Rolet. The Commission had that hearing. And after the hearing, there was actually some information that we received on a variety of different issues, hoping to clarify some of the issues surrounding the active eagle nest and eagles in the vicinity of the project as well as the project area. But the gist of this today is the motion talks about opening up the hearing limited to the issue of whether there's adverse effects on eagle health and safety be managed and maintained to an acceptable minimum. Basically, I know as the three of us talked about the last meeting, I really feel adamant that we should have a hearing to get additional information on the impacts to potential impacts to eagles in this area surrounding this project and in a larger thing of what may be going on with wind development in North Dakota. I understand that there's information that we have, but I really feel that we need to open up even a little bit more opportunity to hear back from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as the North Dakota Game and Fish, as well as the company, to clarify some of the things that perhaps weren't as clear as we'd hoped, or I had hoped in the initial hearing. So the notice today actually says, please take notice, the public hearing is scheduled to begin at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time, November 2nd, at the Memorial Hall in Rolet, North Dakota. And it is limited to just the issue of eagles, so anybody that wants to testify, of course, they can testify all they want as it relates to eagles one way or the other. If it's other testimony, I'm sure the ALJ will manage that discussion. And I've got an agenda item on later today for discussion about another wind farm that we've got some eagle issues that are now surfacing, but I understand that there's a lot of different ways to go in these things, but when we're dealing with a special class, I call it of waterfowl, of avian species, there's the Eagle Protection Act as well as other things. I think it really is in the Commission's best interest as we look at continued wind development in North Dakota that we really understand the potential impacts to this animal. And I will say this personally that, I've been involved in the Commission since 2009, and there's no other commissioner in the history of North Dakota that's supported more wind farms than I have. And that is a fact. And so anyone out there that tries to say we're trying to slow down wind development, it's quite the opposite. I want to make sure it's orderly development. And we oftentimes hear about eagles impacts and other types of projects where we'll have concerns about power lines that we'll site. And there's ways we can mitigate that. We can mitigate by bird flight deflectors. We can mitigate by the span of the power line is more than the wingspan of the eagle. So there's natural factors. What I'm trying to flush out is what are some of the mitigating factors that we should be doing for eagles and really clarify that. And this may become somewhat precedent setting on what we do in eagles going forward. But, of course, each case is managed differently. And some would go back and say, well, the commission has had eagles' nests in other project areas. Why this wind farm? Well, I think for me it's why this farm, because the issue of wind development in North Dakota continues to grow. This particular area has three eagle nests in the vicinity, however you want to define it, but I view it in the vicinity. And so it's kind of like when we started dealing with the whooping cranes. It was – some of the wind farms got by with not as much discussion about whooping cranes. But as the later hearings developed, we asked a lot more questions about it. Thinking back to pipeline safety, some of the first pipeline projects that I was involved in, I didn't ask as many questions as I did about pipeline safety. And that's grown to a robust discussion about how we deal with pipeline safety from our jurisdiction as well as how PHMSA is. We just had a meeting earlier this week about what PHMSA should be doing. And I view this very similar to where the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as well as the North Dakota Game and Fish are the really two lead agencies on what should we be doing to protect this species. Our job is to do the best job we can in siting. And I'm very concerned that we're getting all the information we need to make the best decision as it relates to siting these projects. And that's really what I hope to accomplish for this hearing. A little bit long discussion, but I really think it's important that we do that. And I look forward to hopefully my colleagues support this motion. And so I think that will conclude my discussion at this time, Madam Chair.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, a couple thoughts of my own. And Brian, I really appreciate your concern on this. I appreciate the focus you bring to the bugs and the bunnies, as you often say. And, you know, and that comes from both your education and your experience in the military. And so it's a real asset to the commission. I very much appreciate that and your drawing attention to this issue on this case. But the fact is I'm kind of seeing this a little differently. I feel like we have enough information on the record today from the agencies. And so I'd just like to take a minute. We've somewhat gone through this a little bit, but I'd just like to take a minute to let me explain what I think already exists and why I don't think we need to go back and reopen up this hearing. So this will just take a minute. But in the application, going back to what the company provided in the application, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said in their letter that there was one bald eagle nest in the project area. But none were found by the field surveys. The bird and bat surveys didn't identify bald or golden eagles. The Game and Fish Department did not reference any eagles or nests in their database or reference them in their letter. And the North Dakota Parks and Rec Department in their heritage inventory didn't have any documented eagle nests in the area. And then in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service letter from Jeffrey Towner back in May of in 2013 sometime, they referenced, you got to consult with us early. I think the company did that. They had consultation letters going out in May of 2013. You have to, follow the land-based wind energy development guidelines and the Eagle Conservation Plan guidance. And they recommended that the company redesign the project to meet a Category 2 requirement. They said they suspected it was a Category 1 because of the documented eagle nest in the project area. And then they emphasized over and over and over again, you cannot, even regardless of what you do, we cannot absolve the company from liability if you have a take, even if you are complying with all the mitigated efforts. So then at the hearing on June 29th, the company agreed to document the locations of these eagle nests as a condition of the order, not as a late filed exhibit, which I, back in some of our earlier work sessions, I kind of thought it was a late filed exhibit, but it's been clarified to me that that was to be a condition of the order. Then going back and what the company provided after the hearing on July 14th, they consulted with Kevin Shelley at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Kevin Shelley directed them to North Dakota Game and Fish. On July 16th, they consulted with North Dakota Game and Fish, and they provided additional eagle nest data that wasn't available or provided to them prior to or when they in their original review of the databases, this information wasn't included, and that indicated that a nest was in the study area and close to the study area, but not in the project area. So then the company went out and took an additional step to field document where the two nests were and actually locate them. One was 2.4 miles and another 4.5 miles from the boundary of the project. They provided that information back to us early for inclusion in our finding of facts, even though they didn't need to. They could have kept that information, and we would have included it as a condition of the order as was originally requested in the hearing. And so in my mind, the information that the company found after the hearing to clarify the record really shows that the eagle nests are outside the project area. And according to the Fish and Wildlife Service, that makes this a Category 2 project. It has a high risk. Let's see. The project's, the eagle use area is in the project area, but not in the footprint. Category 1 is when the eagle nest use area is in the footprint. And so I think that in the letter, that the original letter that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service provided to the company, they stated that we recommend you make this a Category 2 project. And I think that this data that they've gathered to clarify some confusion that existed in the various databases, confirmed it with field studies, really shows that they meet that requirement. So rather than opening this up for another hearing, I think we have a couple other options that I'd just respectfully, again, like to throw out here for my colleagues to consider consider using instead of another hearing. So we could update the findings of fact. It would be number 32 in the revised order that we currently have to state that at the public hearing, the commission inquired regarding a reference by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in its 2013 consultation letter to Eagle's Nest in the project area. Roulette Power agreed to provide the commission additional documentation confirming the locations of these nests. After further consultation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Game and Fish, as well as additional field tests, Roulette Power determined two eagle nests are located in proximity to the project area, but no eagle nests are located within the project area. According to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service categories, this likely changes the project from Category 1 high risk to eagles based on an eagle use area within the project footprint to Category 2 high or moderate risk to eagles based on an important eagle use area within the project area but not in the project footprint. Then we could state in May 2013, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service letter to Roulette Power, Jeffrey Towner recommended that Roulette Power redesign the project to at least meet the Category 2 criteria. Facts clarified by the company's additional data searches and field studies indicate that this recommendation has been satisfied. And then I would further require, as a condition of the order, a statement similar to something like this, that Roulette Power will complete a bird and bat conservation strategy prior to operation and coordination with the U.S. and coordinate with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service District Office and the North Dakota Game and Fish Department regarding potential mitigation measures that may be necessary to further demonstrate compliance with federal wildlife laws. Our history has been that we rely on these agencies that are the experts in this, and as you stated, Brian, earlier, to really provide their determination. The bottom line is, outside of a take permit, they're not going to bless a project. They're going to continue to say, here are some of the things you should think about, but it's your responsibility. If you take an animal, you're responsible. And so I think we've done that. I think the company has gone through the process and demonstrated that they've looked at this issue and clarified it with additional field studies and done what is needed to be done to satisfy our requirements for minimal impact and orderly development. And I'm further concerned that, you know, this is a really community-based project. All of the landowners involved in this project are participants in the Roulette Power Company Roulette Power LLC. And so they're waiting. They're waiting for this. And I'm not suggesting we rush, but at the same time, I think we have what we need. And we've been looking at this for 2 additional months, and the company has a finite amount of time to get this thing rolling. And I think we should give them the order as soon as we can and wrap this up, give them the order, and let them get to work on some of the other stuff that they have, many other steps that they still have remaining for this project.
Is there any further discussion?
I just asked, does Randy have anything? Are you still there?
Randy, are you still there after all that?
I'm still here listening. And, in our work session, Commissioner Kalkin brought this issue up and laid out a fair amount of what the explanation was this morning after making the motion. Commissioner Fedorchik has just provided some alternatives, and I'm weighing them back and forth, and I'm wondering if as portfolio holders, Commissioner Paul still feels the need for the additional hearing. One of the things that in many of these cases that we have come up, a project gets developed, and once it comes to us, that there's a lot of urgency from the builders. They have various deadlines, and it's kind of hurry, and we have a responsibility to make sure we have all the facts that we need. And in many of these cases, I'm not singling out Rowlett Wind in particular, but in many of these cases, we're still getting new information at the hearing that wasn't proposed in the submitted in the application. We still get new information afterwards, like the location of the nest, such. So, I guess I weigh on the side in this case of getting the more information, unless these alternatives have swayed the portfolio holder.
Well, Randy, from my viewpoint, I still would prefer to hold the hearing. We've got an item coming up for discussion where the commission has become aware of a bald eagle that has been found below one of the wind farms the commission previously cited. So that's a separate issue. We'll talk about discussion, but I want to have a very clean record as to what we do in this case. And I want to have the experts tell us again what they do, and I want to put our own filter on this. If we have – our job is to use the North Dakota Century Code to do what we think is orderly development. Even if the Fish and Wildlife Service would say do A, but we think we should do B, we can do that. And we've done that for other areas where the FAA comes in and says, it's fine putting a wind farm right here. Well, we say no because it affects the local crop sprayer. So I think we go back out, hold the hearing, we let the experts say their piece, and we apply the filters that we have of our knowledge and an orderly development, and we put together a good order on this thing. So, Noah, to your question, Randy, I'm still committed to having the hearing as long as we can get the right amount of votes to do so.
In our work session, and you said you answered some of this, but I just want to make sure I'm clear. In our work session, we discussed the timing that it would take to have an additional hearing, as well as, the original hearing needs to be out in the area where the project would be developed, and there was some discussion whether, in this case, it could be held in Bismarck, and I think, as I understood your motion, I had a copy of the motion sent to me, and it limited this to this very specific item. It's not going into any of the other things that we deal with. But did you say this would be held on November 2nd, and would it be in Bismarck, or would it be in Rowlett?
November 2nd in Rowlett, the same building we headed in before. In that way, there was a little bit of discussion back and forth between the legal teams that the best thing to do to make sure we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's is to make sure we have it in Rowlett. So I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Just a couple more thoughts.
Essentially, it would be 31 days, so we're not talking many months here. 32 days, I guess it's October now. So...
I have a couple more thoughts.
Everything else that have been resolved in orders, it would just be a matter of getting this squared up and then making a decision. It could be done very quickly after the hearing. So I think I'm comfortable with the idea of reopening and having the hearing.
The other possible approach could be that we require the company, since we know where these eagle nests are, we could just require them to have additional setbacks from the eagle nests to provide further mitigation or to consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service on the appropriate setback from the eagle nests that are located. Although, from what I've read on these various guideline documents, they pretty much reference that they don't give those kind of measures. They say you should consult with and continue to consult with. And so unless they come in and say, absolutely, you should not site this project here, period, they're going to say, keep consulting with us. And that's what we'll hear at a hearing in 32 days, that you should, unless they come in and say, you absolutely should not construct this project, in which case the company would probably just take out some of the towers closest to the site itself, which they can always do to mitigate their own risk of taking an eagle. But I believe that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will probably say, the best approach is for the company to continue consulting with us on the development. And that's what we would already have in our order, requiring them to continue consulting with them. There isn't a lot of specific guidelines that they've set for setbacks and other mitigative measures other than just saying that they can't construct the project.
Is there further discussion?
Well, just one more thought. I think that's the point that I see it differently, is that that's where we go back and do the hearing and we ask additional questions. We determine what we think is appropriate. You're right, the Fish and Wildlife Service will never say something. When I was the environmental compliance guy at Camp Pendleton, the biggest Marine Corps base there is, we had 19 threatened endangered species in the base. We get the experts come in and tell us what they thought. They'd never tell us conclusively anything. We'd make the best decisions based on the data we had. And that's what I'm saying we should do as a commission. And I'll give you the example. Nobody would tell us what the right setback is from a wind farm from a home. Nobody would tell us. Some counties wanted 600 feet. Some said 2 miles. The commission, we sat down and said, you know what, I dug in and said, no closer than 1,400 feet, no matter what, because the sound and the flicker, it wasn't clear. But to me, that was the mark. And that's kind of become the mark that we've then deviated from, but nobody would tell us that. And so that's what my goal here is, these eagles. Go out and have this hearing, listen to the experts once again on this specific topic, and then come up with, using my background experience, our background experience, and develop a plan forward for how to manage bald eagles and wind farm development and other eagles in the state. As I highlighted earlier, we've just been notified, not just the commission has been aware for a while, about a bald eagle being down in a wind farm. It is a responsible thing for us to do, to go back out and hold the hearing and really focus on this issue. And going forward, this becomes almost like the watershed mark where we really looked at this issue, because, yes, the Fish and Wildlife Service has a jurisdiction on it, but we do the orderly development. And I think it'd be irresponsible for us to not go ask more questions on this issue, knowing what we know about what's going on with wind development and the avian species in the state.
When you had this similar approach with the whooping cranes, what kind of guidance resulted in that?
That's a great point, Commissioner. What ended up happening is that commissions up and down the wind corridor of all states from Texas to North Dakota basically were not going to site wind farms. And it forced the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to develop a habitat conservation plan, which, if wind companies agreed to participate in the habitat conservation plan, while it didn't absolve them from if there was a species taken, it really reduced their risk. And I'm aware, not on a record, but the service is working on almost like an eagle mitigation plan up and down this corridor as well. So I think what the service needs to get to is they need to get to some guidelines, some rules, almost like a habitat conservation plan for eagles, and then that becomes the benchmark that a wind farm says, we'll participate in Plan X for eagles just like we do the HCP for whooping cranes. That's the end state that the Fish and Wildlife Service has to get to, in my opinion. Otherwise, we're just out here not hearing from them. That's why I'm pushing this issue. So the wind farm issue, that's a great point of how that developed with the whooping cranes, because there wasn't going to be a wind farm in any state until they developed this. Well, I shouldn't say any state where there was the wind and the whooping cranes. Amazingly, they fly in the wind corridors.
According to their letter, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service already has an eagle conservation plan guideline, and they referenced that for the company. And so I think that that effort already exists, and by requiring the company to continue consulting with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, that's what they would be working on, that very thing. I don't think that this is – wind development is going on for 10 years. We aren't just now beginning to think about impacts on eagles.
The scope is getting bigger now. We're up to 2,000 megawatts. We're going to be at 6,000. So
I'm not willing to jump in and pretend like I'm an expert and can tell wind companies how many miles they should be set back from an eagle nest. I want to push that responsibility on the experts who are responsible for enforcing those laws and protecting those species. I don't know the first thing about how far eagle nests should be from a wind development.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, I'll proceed with a roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
No.
Commissioner Christman.
Aye.
Commissioner Kolk.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
All righty. Well, that concludes the agenda on the regular, the item on the regular agenda. So we have two items of discussion matters.